Psalm 62, near the beginning, the psalmist speaks of God, quote, "who is my salvation." God, who is my salvation. The last couple of weeks I had mentioned that the Psalms are better at describing different people's experiences of God than they are at laying out some kind of organized theology. So when the writer of Psalm 64 describes their experience of God's salvation, I imagine that is a pretty personal thing for them. They have experienced that in their own life. And now they're putting it in words, in a song, in a new situation, because now they're under threat again. Something is going wrong, and they need God to save them again. So as often happens in the Psalms and in Scripture, they remember the way that God has saved them in the past, and that gives them confidence in the moment and in the future that God will do it again. The same, I believe, is true for us today. In the past, and sometimes still today, we in the church tend to talk about salvation in terms of sin and where we go after we die, while on the other hand, we describe other things like mission work, like going off to Jacksonville and working on these homes, or feeding the hungry when we come and we gather and we pack lunches during the summertime, or trying to help people get their lives on track, as simply showing them another form of God's love. But when do we learn to make a distinction between the two? One is salvation, but the other is something else, some other form of showing God's love. But why the distinction between the two? When did we learn to do that? Of course, at times we can also become, I think, so focused on the present, on the day-to-day struggles, on fixing the problems now, that we lose sight of a greater dimension of God's salvation story. It's future orientation, and the hope that it brings, especially when our best efforts don't seem to be bearing the kind of fruit that we had desired. So in our own lives, in today's terms, in today's world, I wonder what we might all say about God saving us. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? What does that mean if we all put our stories together? What does it mean that God saves us? What are the things for which we need saving? That might be a good first question. What is it that we hope that God will do in those situations, or in our life, or in our world? My hope is that that list of what we are hoping for from God is big and wide, not short and narrow. But there is another side about which we need to be honest, I believe. For many of us, it is easy to think in terms of God's salvation in the sweet by and by, out there somewhere, because that leaves our day-to-day lives much more in our own hands. When things come up, struggles, problems, I think our first thoughts go quickly to, how can I fix this? What can we do about this? I need to figure this out. And then everything will be okay. But that can lead to all sorts of things. Long work hours, anxious running about, frustration with ourselves, with other people, when we're trying so hard, and whatever we're trying just isn't working. Or perhaps you even scratch your head as to the very notion of needing salvation. Or even a helping hand, for that matter, from God or a community of faith like the church. And before we scoff at such ideas, consider the normal life of any comfortable middle-class American. Christian or not, practicing or not, church-going or not, salvation is certainly easier to sell when we are facing matters of life and death, and things seem to be getting a little desperate in the moment, than we are looking for answers and looking for help, that there are no atheists in foxholes may be a little bit of a stretch, but it's not really that far off. So let us think of God's saving action in our lives. How do we experience that personally? I think of a lot of different things. Often things showing up in our prayers and in our prayer requests. Salvation might include God saving us, or our child, or our spouse, or some loved one from sickness or disease. Perhaps that describes God's salvation. On the other hand, if we are miserable in our job, or have been out of work for a while, or are struggling to make ends meet, then God's salvation takes on another form. And when we are grieving the loss of someone for whom we have cared and loved deeply, God's salvation over death and the thought of them living anew in the loving arms of God is especially poignant. That is also salvation. Or perhaps we look around us and feel that there are things going on in our world, in our community, in our lives that should not be going on. We look for God's salvation in the world. Each day of the week, we have groups of people meeting here in a classroom downstairs, Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon, and I imagine for them, salvation covers a variety of things in their lives. And even when I am not facing an immediate crisis or a struggle that goes on in my life, I might wonder the difference between what life is like when I am aware of God's presence and following the way of Christ compared to what life is like when I try to do it all on my own. Maybe sometimes the thing from which I most need saving is myself and feeling the need to do it alone. There's a wonderful story, a true story. Actually, Teresa gave me this book, and we're looking forward to the movie coming out soon. Maybe we can gather and watch it together. I have mentioned that it's called The Same Kind of Difference as Me. It is really a story of salvation of sorts, of two very different men joined together by one extraordinary woman of faith. One of the men is her husband, a successful white businessman living a very good life, traveling the world, making lots of money, but focused very much on himself, and who eventually has an affair and nearly ruins his marriage and his career and his life as he knows it. The other man is a former sharecropper, a black man, who moved to the city to get out of that hard, hard life, but ended up homeless for years, becoming sort of an angry and scary person wandering the streets. Both in their own ways and through the immense faith and grace of this particular woman, needed to find and be part of how God was working in their lives. And then one of the hardest times they faced, one of the times they most needed God's presence and saving power, was when that beloved woman fought and lost a battle with cancer. Over the generations, God's people have experienced salvation in many forms and described salvation in all sorts of ways. The Old Testament tended to speak in terms of deliverance from enemies, healing from sickness, and provision of things like water and food. In the New Testament, we also hear about salvation in terms of eternal life that is still balanced with Jesus healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, feeding the hungry, giving a new start to people who are stuck in sin, etc., etc. Today, salvation has come to this house. is what Jesus tells Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come. So salvation, I think, in the New Testament has both a future and a present tense. This is true when we speak of having Easter faith in the church. It is eternal life. We know the power of the resurrection, but we know that power not only out there, then, in the future somewhere, but also now. There is power in the resurrection. There is new life now. That salvation and life in a holistic sense. It is eternal life, but it is also newness and new possibilities now. It means we need not fear death, but it also means that new possibilities for life open up where before those possibilities did not even exist. That is salvation. It also means that as the church of Jesus Christ, as those who believe in Him, as those who believe in the resurrection, as Easter people, we need to make ourselves part of God's will, God's saving work in the world, because we have hope. We have confidence in what God can and is doing in our midst. We look with new eyes into situations where before there was pessimism and negativity and people felt like there's nothing that can be done. We tried that before. It didn't work. And yet we look with new eyes. We place our hope in God to make things happen where before it did not seem like there was even a possibility. Like Abraham and his children, we are called to be a blessing to the world and a light to the people. Like Jesus' first disciples, we are called to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to visit the sick and the prisoners, to comfort those who mourn, and to those who walk in darkness, we point to the dawn. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We experience God's salvation in all of these different and wonderful ways, and they all point back to who God is. The God who loves us faithfully. The God who does not abandon us. The God who walks with us all of our days. The God who gives us life and who gives us new life. The God for whom death is not the end of the story. The God of power who changes life as we know it. This is the God of our salvation. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. Let us rise and sing together hymn number 300.